Welcome to the PTO Podcast, a podcast dedicated to improving lifestyles through people, technology, and organizations. Produced by bidetservices.com. Visit us online at www.bidetservices.com.
Welcome to the PTO Podcast. I am Mark Colvin with bidetservices.com. First of all, I would like to thank all of our new listeners that have joined us over the last month, and we certainly do appreciate the feedback that we're getting. If you have questions or comments, please send them to bidetinfo@bidetservices.com. That's B-I-D-E-T, info@bidetservices.com. On this episode of the PTO Podcast, we are proud to have with us from New York City, Janie Nuar, the Executive Coordinator of the Society for Accessible Travel and Hospitality. Thanks for being with us today, Janie.
Thank you for inviting us.
Not a problem. We're glad to have you. The Society for Accessible Travel and Hospitality, or SAT, has really been taking the lead nationally and internationally for representing the traveling person with disabilities and the mature. So, Janie, let's face it, the nature of traveling itself is really inherently challenging. What are some of the additional difficulties that individuals with disabilities or the mature face when traveling?
The major difficulty that people with disabilities and the mature traveler faces is the lack of awareness as in the travel industry as well as in the community itself as to what their needs are and how to meet the needs. It's going a little beyond the law because you have the Americans with Disabilities Act and you have a lot of constraints aims, and people are scared to go that extra little bit to make their much more easier.
Okay. So in terms of working with the travel industry and the American Disabilities Act, are you guys focusing in on helping the travel industry as a whole become educated on how to help individuals with disabilities?
Yes. We work with all the segments, the airlines, the hotels, the travel agents and tour operators, and the cruise lines, and to be knowledgeable about ADA and how to apply that to their business and make their businesses more accessible to anybody.
Okay. What are some, specifically, what kind of things do you, or areas do they make changes in that help make it easier for a traveler with disabilities or the mature?
For the travel agents and tour operators, what we do is we have training programs, seminars, and workshops where we teach them what the needs are and how to find the solutions. Some of the travel agents are very skeptical into coming into this market because they think they have to learn about diseases and then they have to be knowledgeable about the various diseases and how the disability came about. But we try to show them that whether a person uses a wheelchair because he had an accident and broke his spine or he has a congenital problem that had made he or she use a wheelchair, or it's some other, it's the muscular dystrophy or the multiple sclerosis or whatever it is, most of the time the needs are the same. You need the doors wide enough for the wheelchairs to go in, the bathrooms to have bars and a roll-in shower if you cannot get up from the wheelchair. So we ask them to concentrate more on what they need. And also, a person using a wheelchair, his needs are not exactly the same as another person. Each one could have totally different needs according to the degree of disability that the person has. So we ask them to concentrate on what the client's needs are and how to find the solutions.
So as far as the education process from the, say, travel agencies, expertise, do they actually work with SAT to come up with maybe customized packages or helping an individual find a carrier that's going to help meet them and their needs as far as their, whether it be wheelchair accessible, bathrooms with grab bars? I mean, are they educated in finding places where people with disabilities can go?
Yes, we train them how to evaluate a place. not just for people who use wheelchairs, but for a person who's blind, a person who is deaf, or somebody who has medical conditions, and that restricts him from traveling freely, and they need some extra special care. So we train them how to evaluate each place is according to the needs of the person that they are setting up the trip for and how to do it. So we definitely show them how to find. For example, if you need transportation, how do you find somebody who can provide you the airport transportation or from the attraction to the hotel and the hotel to the attraction? So how do you see if the person can provide the service that is needed? To give you an example, a person who is deaf would just need the driver to be aware of how to communicate with the person who is deaf and who is blind and who has a dog, what they have to do about that. Or a person who is using a wheelchair, if he can get up and transfer into the car, or they need a ramp. So we teach them all those items that they have to look into.
That's really a comprehensive overview of making sure that that person is taken care of from start to finish.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, how did SATH come about?
Our founder, Murray Vidakla, he is a Hall of Famer of ASTA. He was a visionary. In 1975, he saw that Africa is a very good destination for people, anybody who wants to go to Africa. At that time, nobody thought of Africa as being a destination. And he founded the association, Africa Travel Association. After that, he saw there was so much interest in what he did. And then he went ahead and then he thought, if people are interested in going to remote places like Africa, everybody should have that facility, irrespective of whether they have any disability or if they have difficulty in walking because of their age or breathing because of their age. Everybody should be able to enjoy life and travel and do everything that anybody can do. So he founded SATH. He did not have any disability when he founded SATH. And together with his wife, Ruth Vidakla, they put together this organization when nobody was even thinking about accessibility in travel.
Yeah, and that's something that both the travel industry and also the people who with disabilities who wanted to travel, there's a great need there, obviously.
Yes, there is a great need. And the moment he put together this organization in 1976, he saw that there was a great need and they needed an advocate like him to do it. So the first 10, 12 years was spent in getting the rules and regulations put together. And in 1990, the ADA came into being. And we were a big part of writing the ADA laws, the access part. And then you have the ACA, Air Carrier Access Act, which makes sure that people with disabilities are not discriminated against, nor do they have to pay more for the services from any of the airlines. So we were a big part of getting these two laws and regulations put together.
I found a quote on your website from Murray Vidakla, and I thought it was pretty powerful, and I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Says, we needed to educate the travel industry as to the economic possibilities of this underdeveloped market. On the other hand, we needed to inform the population with disabilities that they could join the mainstream in travel, as well as other aspects of their everyday life. We offered them dignity and opportunity, not charity or welfare. Our mottos were, no discounts for the handicapped, charity no, service yes. You know, I think that's a win-win for everybody involved, and I think that's really where you guys have made a huge impact for both the travel industry and the individual with disabilities.
That's correct, because charity can only go to a certain extent. But when it is good for business, and that's what we have been trying to stress all along, this is not charity. We are not asking for charity, but catering to people with disabilities and the mature traveler is good for business. And there was a study done in 2002 by Open Doors in collaboration with SAT and TIA, which is the Travel Industry Association, and which gave us a number which was surprising even to us. It gave us a number of the amount of money spent by people with disabilities. We did not go into the mature traveler. It was just people with disabilities. The amount of money spent on travel, whether it's business travel or for pleasure, was $27 billion with a B in 2 years' time. So breaking it down to a one-year period, it was $13.7 billion. So that shows, and most of the travel was for leisure. It was not a business travel. And another of my information that we got from that same study is that if you provide the facilities, they would travel more. And the amount, the number that they would travel more would almost double. To give you some numbers would be, for example, if they were to provide the services, and the services were not, they wanted to break down the walls and build bigger rooms and bigger bathrooms. No. What they wanted was mostly that the people who are providing the service, like at the check-in counter at the hotel, the people should be aware of their needs. They should be aware of what a person with a disability needs. And they wanted the hotel rooms and the restaurants near the exit so that they do not have to go a long way on the carpeted floor to get to the rooms. And they said that if their needs were met, they would travel like twice more, which would mean in money $4.2 billion more a year.
Those are numbers not to be ignored.
Yeah, definitely not. And for air travel, the same thing. Check-in counter, people should be knowledgeable about what their needs are and should be able to get their seats assigned beforehand, and things that are very doable and mostly staff training. And if they cater to that, they would take two more trips. And that translates into 18.8 million flights more.
Wow.
And that's not the dollar figure. It's 18.8 million flights more that they would take. So these numbers was a very powerful tool that we got with that study to show the industry that people with disabilities do travel and do spend money.
That's very obvious, and it looks like it's working.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is, because with the baby boomers growing in numbers, I think it's coming to 77 million now, who are about 55, I think. And people are suddenly seeing that there is a huge market in it, and we see the results. More people are getting into this field, and, for example, cruise ships, they are building bigger and better ships and better facilities for people with disabilities. And they are making it easier for them to travel.
And that's going to be the market coming very quickly.
Yes, exactly.
I know you guys are going to be presenting at a trade show, the event in disability travel. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, we are going to do, we are participating in Abilities Expo, which goes around U.S. The next one would be in New York City, and we would be having a booth there so that people can come and get more information as to who are the travel agents and tour operators who have experience in setting up travel for them. Because some of the problems that we have found is you have a client, and for some unfortunate event, he breaks a leg or ends up in a wheelchair or something happens, and they still have to travel, and the travel agent has no clue how to get the trip put together without any problem, even though he is in a wheelchair. And they say, oh, that's no problem, I can get your trip together, and sends him to a hotel that has like 2-3 steps to go up. In a wheelchair, you cannot go up steps. It's impossible. So you have to know what you are doing. You have to have experience. So we give out the information of who are the ones who are doing disability travel. So your trip is seamless, problem-free. The Abilities Expo is in New York on April 27th to 29th, and then we would be in Southern California June 15th to 17th, and Minnesota September 7th to 9th. And another big consumer show for people with disabilities is the WCD, World Congress on Disabilities, which would be at Washington, D.C. Convention Center, Downtown Convention Center. And that is November 15th to the 17th. We would be there, too.
Okay, so you guys are going to be out and about all across the nation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We need to get the word out that they can travel, because still, in these days, we still find that there are lots of people who are staying home who could well be traveling and having fun. They are not traveling because they are scared, and they do not know that there are a lot of facilities out there now. We have a tour operator in Kenya who has taken a person with disability as severe as what Christopher Reeve had. He could move only his fingers and his head, and they took him in his power wheelchair to see the chimpanzees in the Uganda forest. And he spent 28 days in the forest, not coming to any big cities between Uganda and Kenya.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So there is absolutely no reason, even if you have any disability or you are a mature traveler, to stay home and not have fun.
Fun's what it's all about.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Now, if one of our listeners wanted to learn more about SATH, where could they find more information?
They could go to our website, sath.org. The website is www.sath.org. Or they could send us an email asking for the specific information. We have travel agents and tour operators in a lot of cities, even internationally. For example, in Italy, in Brussels, in London. So we could put them in touch with them. We do not set up the tours. Our members do. So when somebody asks for information and asks for a travel agent or a tour operator, we direct them to these people so that their needs can be taken care of. And so they talk to each other directly.
Great, great. Janie, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today on the PTO podcast. And we certainly do appreciate what SAF's doing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk to your listeners.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Janie.
Thank you.
The PTO podcast is produced by bidetservices.com, a lifestyle enhancement company dedicated to creating independence, restoring dignity, and promoting wellness through the use of bidet seats. For more information, visit Bidet Services at www.bidetservices.com.